nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
All right, let's start. Let's start from that end. Can you mention a few differences between thick and thin dielectric? One is thick, another is thin. That's one difference. What else? What type of breakdown? Which oxides will have correlated breakdown versus uncorrelated breakdown?
Thin oxides have uncorrelated.
It could have thin oxides, high voltages could have correlated, but generally it's basically uncorrelated, right? And high voltage and often correlated because it redistributes the electric field and that enhances the probability of breakdown at a local point. Okay. Is breakdown in thick dielectric contact dominated? Can I use anode hole injection theory here?
I think yes, it is dominated.
Thick dielectric though. Anode hole injection theory requires that you deposit all the energy in the contact. After tunneling, it has the impact ionization. But here, the impact ionization is happening in the bulk, not in the anode. All this cascade processes are going on, right? So in that case, we cannot use anode hole injection theory for sure, because it's not a contact-dominated phenomenon. Is this clear?
Contact
electrode material was changing and therefore it gave a slightly different curve, right? Yeah, so those, if you wanted to say that, then you could say that's a cathode hole injection theory. In the sense, so the electrode, there was one electrode here and another electrode here. And I assume what you're talking about is this electrons, when they are going in this side, it didn't matter. It essentially went in and was taken in by the electrode. So by the way, so this is the anode. And this is the cathode. Now, I assume what you're talking about is that this positive ion, when it came here, this contact determined how many electrons will be re-injected back. So, like a cathode electron injection theory, rather than anode hole injection theory, I'll say cathode electron injection theory. So you can say for the gaseous dielectric, then in that case it does matter that what the gamma is. But you can see that it's inside a log. If you look at the formula, the formula was log of 1 plus 1 over gamma. Relatively weak function of gamma. Now, this is for gaseous dielectric, you are right, that in that case contact did play some role. It's just not anode hole injection. But for the solid that we showed, so for the silicon dioxide and other, in that case, this contact played no role whatsoever. In that case, impact ionization happened purely within the dielectric, nothing else. Right? But this is a good observation. How does the passion cascade initiate, not initiated. How does it get started?
One electron.
But where will you get that electron? Yeah, I know. One electron can start this process. Where will that electron come from? But where will that one electron come from, even in the cathode? Maybe the high field may be able to inject one, right? That's a possibility, huh?
Maybe a hammer and nail.
That would be too much. most of these things actually occur. Go ahead. But coating makes the emission easier. You're saying that coating of the cathode people often will use so that the low voltage can do this. The starter really gives you the high voltage so that the impact ionization can start, because once sustained, it will stay. But the thing is, how does the impact ionization start itself? So the answer in this case is that most of the time, the stray light, and the light has to have quite a high energy, the stray light from outside, so relatively high energy from the environment, that initiates the first process. That will kick one electron out. Because if you had to really wait for this anode to eject an electron by voltage alone to start this process, this voltage would be so high that you will not be able to initiate the process at all. Now, the reason you have a starter does exactly this, that once it gets initiated, it sustains the process. So alpha is more than one for that voltage. That's the role of the starter. But it gets initiated by high energy light from the environment. So in a dark, absolutely dark room, you cannot get it started. Not dark in the sense, this is the every room in the all environment, there is always photons with enough energy. There's nothing called a dark room. Otherwise, you cannot turn a switch on, right? In a dark room, we do that all the time. But dark, by that I mean filtered light, filtered of all high energy component. You cannot start it. What does it mean to have a fractal dimension of 1.7? Remember that that picture that we had a fractal dimension of 1.7? I did not answer that question. Maybe I'll record a few things after this lecture. If you want to stay, you can, but otherwise go ahead. So I'll not answer this question right now. But the point is that if things are uncorrelated, the fractal dimension will be 2. If it is correlated, then the fractal dimension would be less than 2 in 2 dimension. In 3D, the fractal dimension would be less than 3 if it is correlated. Uncorrelated, fractal dimension would be 3. Right? Okay. What is a color center, and how does color center help us visual breakdown in polymers? What is a color center?
I think it's the diagonal of the molecule.
And do you remember this was in the first exam, what context did you talk about color center? In the glass or in sodium chloride, if you have an ultra pure sodium chloride, it will be white, right? It will be completely white. But if you take a sodium chloride from your kitchen, bring it up, you'll see that this has some color. The colors are localized crystalline defects, which gives localized, because generally band gap is ATV, right? And so it gives localized excitation, so that gives an appearance of color. And so the color centers are defect in a material that is visual, that you can see visually. And so in the polymer, in fact, when the high current passes through during the discharge, it locally breaks many polymer bonds and makes it colorful. And that's what you see in that branching diagram. Explain physically why there is a minimum breakdown voltage for gas dielectric. Who wants to explain it? Why do you need a minimum amount? What is the barrier?
So, the electrons has to go out from the atoms.
Okay. Tell me, if I was doing this experiment with hydrogen atom, what would be my barrier height?
13.
Good. The first quantized level, and that's the ionization energy, right? Ionization energy in hydrogen is 13.2 eV, right? 13.6 eV? Yeah, 13.6 eV. So that would be your threshold, right? That's the amount of energy you have to. So band gap, in that sense, quote-unquote band gap of hydrogen is 13.6 for the impact ionization to start. Because then it becomes free. Just like a conduction band electron becomes free, in here, the electron becomes free in vacuum. So that's the effective band gap in hydrogen. All right. Is gas dielectric breakdown reversible? What about solid state breakdown? And this, you have to answer it because this answers your first question in the class. Is it reversible, gas breakdown?
Yes, I think it is. Because the gas molecule, I mean, the ions can actually move around. And
then they can, if you put extra electron in it, that's why you can repeatedly turn your fluorescent light on every night, right? There's no problem. But of course, the cathode and anode, that can get damaged because the atoms are hitting it. So over time, that can corrode and all. What about solid state breakdown? Because defects will form. So this is what I was saying. The physics I told you about is how hot the carriers get. Defect formation is a consequence of that heating. It's like a hot electron injection is the one part, and then recombination-induced bond breaking is the second part. So this second part doesn't happen in gas. This second part does happen in solid state. So therefore, it's irreversible, whereas this breakdown is reversible. Right?
Can we reheat the solid and...
Of course. Of course. You can reheat your Qualcomm cell phone at 1100 degrees C, but the only thing is that cell phone may not work. That will be like my daughter who puts things in the, test it. Just test a cell phone, puts it in a microwave. she's very small, I'm telling you. I have hope for her, but she's... So, yeah, of course, you can always recycle and okay.